I honestly, my mind goes blank sometimes.
Duh.
Okay, listen up, nerds. It's the Loose Screws Podcast. This is episode 234 for May 16th in 2024.
33-10.
Yay! And I'm Commander J. Antrax, and I am joined tonight by the illustrious Mr. Indigo, Commander Mr. Indigo.
Hello, friends. Good evening.
The also illustrious Commander Nurgle.
Hola, señores.
Oh, no. And then also the illustrious Oblivious.
You know, it's been 10 days since anybody has run a poll on our Discord.
We should really talk to our newly minted poll master about that.
You know, I think that is a genius plan that he has put together. Because you remember there was a poll that came out just before that, whether we wanted to continue to do polls, and everybody said, no, yeah. We're sick of polls.
He's
managed to get himself to be the poll master. And assuming that the event curse applies to the poll master, we won't have to worry about any more polls.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way. The whole thing was just a joke to get him excited about it. And then when he realized what he'd actually done and that he'd become the poll master, I think he sincerely didn't realize how I was spelling that. I got a bunch of DMs in quick succession after changing his title. So... anyway, that's a lot of inside baseball for this podcast, right?
Yeah.
If dear listener, if you're not in our Discord, I can't help you.
You're welcome to be.
Yeah.
At least showing.
But yeah, links in the show notes. So, everybody, how's it all been? Oh my God, what is that? Nurgle's found a piece of, I don't know what to call this. Construction equipment? It looks like it's a trap attached to it. It looks like it's a modified yard tractor with auger that's probably 6 feet tall. What the fuck is happening in here? All right. Check the clock. Yes, less than 3 minutes off the rails.
All I have to say is Google Pollmaster.
I'm going to say something that I'm afraid I might have to say a few times throughout this episode. The statements and opinions of the Loose Screws Podcast contributors are their own and bear no responsibility or resemblance to the Loose Screws as an organization. Anyway, so how's everybody been going? I'm going to start with Commander Mr. Indigo. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm a little weary. I was in the car for much of the day. We went up to Milwaukee to look for some birds. Nothing specific, but we got up butt crack of dawn and drove and walked and came back just in time to start doing all this. So, yeah.
So you just walked in and sat down?
More or less. I had to figure out some food for the family first without much success, but yeah. That's about it.
All right.
That's about it.
Hungry families.
Yeah.
What about Stupendous. You guys? What about Nurgle? What's up? Hey, Nurgle, what have you been working on?
I don't know. This afternoon I went and picked up literally a truckload of small pavers because this weekend's project, assuming we don't float away in the thunderstorms that are coming through, this week's project is building a flower bed in the yard. So I'm going to be having fun with a honeydew this weekend. And I would like to state clearly and for the record that Steam's little measure of how much you play is horribly, horribly wrong.
In which direction?
Well, when I logged in, before we started recording when I logged into the game, it told me I had played 72 hours in the past 2 weeks.
I haven't had the
computer on for 72 hours in the past 2 weeks.
That would explain why I have 12,000 hours in Steam.
I've got like 6,000. It's ridiculous.
Hold on, now I got to look at mine.
It is overly generous. I don't know, is the launcher open or a Steam is running in the background and you're thinking about Elite Dangerous or whatever it is?
I only have 2,600 hours, which I know to be less than true because for at least a year I was playing on the Oculus Store version of the game before switching back to the Steam version. So it didn't count those hours, but it's definitely not overestimating me.
I just know that I haven't played a full-time job of Elite in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I suppose not.
But other than that, not a lot going on until we get to the squad update, and then there's a lot going on.
Okay, all right. How about you, Oblivious?
I'm continuing to work on my backyard patio project. Started it last September, a little flagstone patio, and it's coming along great. I'm almost finished with it. Last layer of aggregate down and ready to start putting the flagstones down.
Yeah,
so coming along.
That's in my near-term future, too.
Sweet. Very nice.
So maybe I need to screw up building this flower bed so she won't want to build the patio.
Oh, my God. I was like, this past weekend, I was asked to brush our dogs, which I hate doing. I don't feel like I should have to explain that. I just don't like brushing the dogs. I like the dogs just fine.
Fair enough.
I don't like to brush them. It's just the fucking hair gets it. One of them is the hair is so staticky. Anyway,
Sure.
It's unbelievably irritating. Anyway, so I'm like doing the thing. It was like Mother's Day weekend, right? So I was like, and I did it. And afterwards, my wife's like, you do such a better job of this than me. You get so much more hair off. And I was like, oh no. Fuck. God damn it.
I was just about to ask if she hates it more than you do, but if you're even on it, if you're that much better.
It's really, yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but screwing it up is in my future, I sense.
You're wandering through the land of gadgets. There are probably 5 or 6 as seen on TV things you can try at least to keep yourself distracted.
And keep this one in your back pocket. Well, first of all, do you have carpet in your house?
Oh yeah, no, I take them outside.
Well, but I'm saying, because I mean, I have animals too. Fur gets all in the carpets. So keep this in your back pocket for when you need to really score a win with the wife. Get a regular, you know, like 12-inch window squeegee, simple rubber squeegee, literally duct tape it to the end of a pole, and then use it like you're raking your yard on your carpet, and it will pull up every single pet hair in the carpet.
Seriously? Whoa.
It works. I mean, you will swear your vacuum cleaner has been on vacation for the past 5 years the first time you do this.
Crap.
You can do it by just dragging your tennis shoe across. You can test to see how much hair is there.
Yep. Nice. Oh.
Same theory, but the squeegee works amazing. Yeah. And I'll tell you the truth, my wife saw this on the internet somewhere. And I mean, I come home one afternoon and she is literally duct taping a window squeegee to the end of a wooden stick. And I'm going, there's no way this is ever going to work. I'm glad you didn't spend money on this because you've been completely had. The first pass across the carpet, it pulls up balls of fur. At which point she looked at our vacuum cleaner and said, "You're fired." It's unbelievable how well that works. So, you know, if you ever need, but understand, once you've pulled that out, there's no going back. So save it for when you really need to score some points with the wife.
You know, I remember why this occurred to me, like a brush thing that I think probably has a ultrasonic humidifier kind of thing inside, because it looks like it's steaming and it dampens the hair just enough that it all kind of comes off together.
It looks like magic. Instead of flying all around. Yeah, exactly.
Good luck getting that on your dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you use it like a brush. Yeah, anyway. I'll find a link.
But if it makes any sound or something, it's like... Interesting. All right. Cool. Well,
because it sounds like you got years and years and years of doing that ahead of you.
Oh, no. So I'm just going to fuck it up.
So that was the home ec section of the show.
That was fun. Yeah.
This week in dog hair.
Yeah.
In other news, I was actually hopped on Played Elite. For one thing, we had some wars and stuff. I love me some wars. As we said before, last time I was here, good excuse to fly a Mamba. I don't have a Python 2, so once I do, I'm going to be all over it. But I'm not pre-buying anything. Also just took some time to go around and buy all the SCO FSDs and get rid of all my old trash. Oh, in fact, I just realized I'm sitting here in my Sidewinder. I'm gonna live install an SCO in this sucker, because I just realized I haven't flown this ship yet. And I think I've got at least one size two in here. So yeah, love those things. Totally replace all your FSDs and throw your old FSDs away.
We need an old SED recycling plan.
Yeah.
Or jumping into space.
I'm just gonna sell this old module. Goodbye, old module.
But it has it's like engineered.
Are you sure?
But it's engineered.
Wait a minute. It says that the old one was an SCO. So apparently I'd already slapped one on here. Oh, that's disappointing. Okay, never mind. Buy it back. I just hadn't engineered it. Mm. Hold on. Gotta go engineer it. anyway. Yes, I'm on team throw away all your old FSDs and re-engineer a bunch of new ones. Had to refill a bunch of data mined wake exceptions. No big deal. I'm very pleased with my choice. Good.
I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's good.
I haven't bothered to fly anywhere and put the experimentals on them, because honestly, like, the tiny little bit that Mass Manager changes is so meaningless to how I actually play the game these days.
Yeah.
These are all combat ships. It doesn't matter.
And
at all.
Everything is basically operating off a carrier anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, it's just not an issue. If I find myself over there, I'll probably put it on some of them, but I probably won't have the patience to fly each ship down to the engineer. That thing that I can't do from the carrier. You know, this isn't like thermal vent or something that you actually need to apply, you know?
So you're running them all up for mostly G5, like G5-ish?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I never close the G5 ring on anything.
Yeah.
Because like the last,
not worth it.
The last quarter of the wheel is worth like 3% of the performance. So I just get it close and then stop. I don't have a compulsion to see a closed ring. Every once in a while, I do have a few modules that ended up with closed rings just because, like, whatever, I got some god roll on the last one I was going to do, you know, and it just closed miraculously somehow. But most of them are, you know, I'm not going to do those six rolls where it barely moves and you're screaming. Like, that's not what I'm going to do when I play a video game. So anyway. No, without too much disrespect to those who do, but I do think you guys probably do have a compulsion if you're doing that, because it doesn't mean anything to your gameplay.
No, I thought of you many times yesterday as I was rolling up a full set of frags from G3 to G5, and every time I stopped 2% shy of the addition, or, you know, 200ths of a point.
Yeah,
I still had a quarter of a circle to go. Like, fuck those maps.
Right, and you
move on to the next one.
You see, like, what the maximum can be, and you're like, yeah, you're like 2/10 off. You're 2 decimal points. Yeah, you need 2 decimal points to explain the difference between what you have and what 100% will be, and you're like worried about it.
Yeah,
we can't all be Chig.
And where would the world be if we were?
And I, you know, it, about 2 weeks ago on another Discord, I had shared the build for my mining cutter with somebody. And I immediately got a bunch of flack back about, why did you bother lightweighting all of the limpet controllers? I'm like, dude, you have no idea how old that build is. that build way predates carriers when weight meant something.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Even on a ship that big. Well, you probably have a lot of limpets on it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. How much weight are you saving if measured in limpets?
Right.
Well, but it's not just the limpet controllers.
Sure. But it matters, you know. It's funny because, like, yeah, larger ships don't feel, you know, 1 ton or 10 tons as much as smaller ships do.
Right.
But on the other hand, there are times when it does, you know, when it would make a difference.
And in an age before fleet carriers, when you were jumping, you know, 7 or 8 jumps to go sell what you had mined, every ton counts.
Yes.
Well, I suppose before the
exactly
wasn't the multi-limpet controllers were later on in the game. Were those like yes. a later one?
Yeah, you yes. fairly recent.
A bunch of limpet controllers too.
Well, but you can right, only exactly. have one multi anyway.
Well, yeah, right, and actually, the multi, the multi for mining is a terrible idea anyway because it's like eight total limpets or something like that, and you. Once you have all of them out as collectors, you have to turn all of them off or wait for one of them to expire before you can send out another prospector. Because it doesn't just auto kill whatever the oldest limpet was to send a right. new prospector, which would be the obvious solution.
Extra. I mean,
the only advantage, the only advantage multi-limpet controllers have is they put out more controllers for the same size module.
Yeah.
So if you're going to use it strictly as collector limpets, then it's great to stick one in. But if you're going to actually use it for multiple functions, yeah, it's not a good choice.
Well, I don't know. Some of the littler ones, like the, I used a Xeno one. This was back in early like Titan space time when we were going in there to like, we had to collect shit from the caustic generators. So you had to do like tissue sampling as well as. So anyway, I used one, like it has decon on it, which is useless because it's a size 3 and it doesn't decon anything significant. Right. But the research, and I think it has research and collector, I think are the other two types that are on it. So there you go.
Right.
I only need one out at a time. Of each of those, or they're perfectly adequate.
Like a weak repair. But either way, I only ever think about the universal multi-limpet controller because all the other ones are
the 7.
The big one is useful for just about everything, except it's OE and massive and takes a lot of power.
And again, you wouldn't want that on a mining ship because it takes up such a big slot. It grossly reduces your cargo.
Right. And if you did have it on there, you'd also want a separate prospector so that you could always fire a prospector.
Right.
Anyway, it's just bad game design aside, there's plenty in this game that isn't badly designed.
Mm-hmm.
So what should we roll into now? Because normally I would go to the squad update, but seeming as we have this extra segment here, do you guys think this is the appropriate time to play a message from our sponsor or whatever this is? What could go wrong? All right, this is going to be what could go wrong.
You're going to have to give it the disclaimer though.
Disclaimer is that the thoughts and opinions of contributors to the Loose Screws podcast are their own and in no way materially or otherwise represent Loose Screws as an organization.
Yeah, that ought to do it.
All right, here we go.
Hello, commanders. It's your old Lang Syne, excuse me, your old friend Audaxius. You know, it's come to my attention this week, in between my bi-weekly boiling of haggis and the toasting of the spirit of our dearly departed Robert Barnes, that certain commanders from across the pond were denny fans of my affectation of their language. Well, I'm just here to say not all of us have the privilege of seeing David Braben's house from our house. But hear me out, ye commanders from across the pond. I would love to hear your attempts at the American accent. I would love to split me sides in laughter at your attempts to make our sounds. So hereby is your official challenge, if you hear this. I want to hear your American accent in your little podcast, and let's see how you do it.
Our sounds?
Wow. Good that Lord. Is our pool master, ladies and gentlemen.
Master of the pole.
Man alive.
Well, that happened.
Yes. Yeah. We could all just go along and pretend it didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the word you're looking for is anyway.
Exactly. Anyway. Since anyway. I have the soundboard up, I guess we'll just drop into a squad briefing.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
All right, there continues to be weirds going on down at the Circle K. So we have a war in Timor again. And I know if you were listening to this fine podcast substance last week at this time, we were talking about the need to win the war in Timor. We did. Now we're fighting.
My carrier never left.
Mine did, so I'm going to move back again. We also have a war going on in Howard, which is where mine moved. And we are currently up 2-1 in that one, which was the war we were trying to prevent and failed to prevent. Both of those, I would really say, are highest priorities to try to get those taken care of. And if you are so inclined and you're out flying around somewhere in screw space, please hang on to any bounties, not bonds, but actual bounties for loose screws you may have picked up, because we're going to want to use those when these wars start to end to try to generate some separation. Elsewhere in screw space, we have wars going on currently in Bagalis in Zions. We are leading in both of those right now. If somebody wants to go and fight in them, please do, but Timor and Howard need to be the priorities. And we have an election going on in Yinti. We are still pushing Operation Red Dawn to try to push After Dark Initiative out of control in systems where they have res sites to try to deny whoever is pushing them a source of bounties. Again, we have talked to the actual players in After Dark Initiative to tell them what we are doing. They are completely on board with what is going on. We also have a fairly sizable list of systems that are overheating. Again, it's all the usual suspects, mainly 7 and 6 Andromeda at the moment. There's a whole list of those in the standing orders. And there's generally quite a bit going on especially between the wars and the elections and some current needs for system maintenance. There's something going on out there, no matter what type of play you like to do in the game. So if you want more details on all of that, please check out the Standing Orders post in the Standing Orders channel of the faction section of the Discord. And if you have any questions about what's going on, and there have been several new people recently who have had some real questions about, what can they do to help? And Blooming Wind has actually just pinned a really detailed description of what the Standing Orders, of all the different sections of the Standing Orders post and kind of what they mean. So check that out if you have questions. And if you still have questions after checking that out, please post a question in one of the channels and one of us BGS geeks will get back to you, because we actually love talking about this stuff. We're weird that way. And that's what's going on in screw space.
Breaking news. We're now tied in Howard 2-2.
That means we lost last night. Mm-hmm. All right. So Howard, high priority.
Okay.
Paul.
All right. So Galnet update. Well, the only Galnet article that posted since the last episode of the podcast was actually just mentioning that the SEO, the full complement of SEO drives came out, and all that they are all engineerable, and it was sort of 2 days late from when that actually happened. So that was already talked about on the podcast. So Galnet kind of continuing to fall on their face over there. Thargoid War update. All right. So Haddad is down to 11 control systems, I'm told. I didn't open the thing.
Yep. So I checked this afternoon.
Full attack is predicted a week from today. So this afternoon got the update. This is Thursday. So yeah, week from today, we will be blowing up Haddad. And, you know, unless barring some more God hand stuff, but that doesn't seem to be happening again so far.
Plan your schedule accordingly.
Right. Yeah. Don't expect it to survive the weekend.
Yeah. This one's going to go pretty
weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been clearing something around 10 systems a week. So yeah, it will be down to one or none. So it will be, what did it say? Completely defenseless. That wasn't it, right? Completely vulnerable. That's what it was when it has no systems. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Bring your Python 2s. I don't have one. I only have Python Classic. So I'll still be using a Krait Mark 2. Although I've had plenty of interactions with Python 2s in the wars that we've been fighting, and yes, they're fantastic, although they do seem to crash into me a lot for some reason. It's probably because they're very maneuverable and everybody's able to stay on their target like glue, so...
Yeah, that's it.
That's why we're colliding, and I'm flying a Mamba around, you know, orbiting at, you know, 450 meters a second most of the time. Instead of sticking to targets. So anyways.
Well, in my case, it doesn't hurt that it's a nice ramming ship and I will regularly finish somebody off by crashing into them.
Sure. That's spoken like a true frag user. the hull gets low enough, they're no longer worthy of frag ammo.
Yeah, so I suppose in that regard, it is a little bit like the Vulture that I wished it would be. But I have also run into plenty of NPCs using it as well, so I'm not exactly sure what's up with that.
Oh, really?
Something about the
I've seen that yet.
I haven't. Yeah. Cool. Hmm. Can't wait to see one in the wild.
Now that you mention it, I didn't notice that I hadn't been seeing them, but yeah. Need to play more missions, I guess. So, dev news or discussion? I guess I put this in the wrong section. Whatever. There was a little update today, apparently.
Yes.
Yep.
There was a little teensy update. So we're now on 18.05. Fixed Guardian Fighters hit check not behaving correctly. Hit check not hit checking. Checking hits.
Yeah, you can use Guardian Fighter inside a structure, for instance, or inside your fleet carrier model.
Oh, one of those. Okay. Like
you could almost park. If you could have gotten out of SLF, you could have gotten out on the, you know, concourse of your fleet carrier or something like that. I saw a couple of pictures on Twitter of people doing more or less that.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Fixed an issue where attempting to swap a core internal module with a stored module was being blocked for pre-built ships.
Yay! Yep.
That was a real pay-to-lose situation, so I haven't heard that that's not working so far today. And I feel like there would be some scuttlebutt about that in Discord if it hadn't come to fruition, right? So,
I guess that was last night I tried that and it didn't work, so okay. I'll have to try it today.
Yeah, I mean, it sure seems like if you're paying for the privilege of having a pre-built ship, they shouldn't make it harder to deal with than the stuff you didn't pay for. That must feel pretty sour.
EFG.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have to prevent you from spawning a ship, offloading all the modules, and then selling it, spawning the ship again, and making yourself a mobile factory. but it didn't quite work.
Right. They needed to do it in a subtly different way, I guess. So, and
I
then finally,
it easy. Oh. I mean, most of the stuff they do is easy. So,
how hard can it be?
Drink.
And finally, ensured new players correctly remain in solo play until performing an initial hyperspace jump, which will then transition players into open play. This sounds like it's about the new player area, but it is worded with solo play and open play, which seems wrong, doesn't it?
Very.
Is this is this worded super wrong, and it's actually just a fix to the longstanding bug
I think by default, a new player is effectively in open, but until they've made their first hyperspace jump, they are treated as if they are in solo, or they are kept in solo. And it doesn't tell you, it keeps you from running into somebody else before you've even made your first jump. That's my suspicion.
Oh, so this is not then... Okay, that makes sense with the language, but that means that this is not the fix that I thought it was, because there's some problem with the new player starting area, like they don't go to the right area or something like that. Like
I thought that was in the last update that they fixed that. There was at least some mention. It might have been mentioned of something that was still a problem, but I suspect they fixed it.
So
it was in one of the.
So are you saying that with new players they log them into open, but they essentially shuttle each new player into their own instance, so they never actually run into anybody?
Until doing a hyperspace jump.
They just do it in solo, and then it just starts over in open once they've jumped once. Like, they jump and it fades to black, and then it drops them into open.
But it has to... It can't really be... Because you have to go to menu to transition between solo and open.
I mean, yeah, they must have that behavior hard-coded into the... Game, so it must happen at your first jump.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I wonder if it always open just if you start playing the game without picking.
Huh.
Yeah. Why would it ask you? Right.
Does it not prompt you the first time you like when you start a new character?
Let me start a new one right now. Hold on. I'm going to the menu. Erase character. No, I'm not doing that. That was a joke.
I was just wondering if they default for that, if they defaulted people into open or if they started them in solo.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It seems like because there is no transition to the menu, that maybe they are in an instance that no one else can be in, like an instance that can never again happen in the game. Or actually, because we can go over here to the side panel and do training. Here it is. Training simulations, including like the pilot assessment tutorial and surface operation tutorial. Those are the starting things. They're right here in front of me. So I can go into these, and that's effectively a solo instance, but I'm logged into open right now, and it's not going to transition me to the menu. But if you guys can look at me in your, look at your friends in the list, you would see me as open, but it would probably say I was somewhere else, or maybe it'll just say what system I'm in, but you can't actually find me kind of thing. I could just do that right now. Pilot assessment. Oh, it's not letting me do. Oh, wait, start tutorial. Here, is anybody else in game? Am I the only one in game right now? Oh, it did go to the menu, though. I've got like a loading screen.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think it just does that without showing you the menu screen. But it just
I'm in the scenario, and I'm looking at my friends list, and I see a bunch of people and what systems they're in. So I'm still in open.
Yeah, you must be.
But I'm not a new player. Because if I was a new if I was a new commander, I wouldn't have any friends yet, so there'd be no way for me to tell.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this guy's taking me on a tutorial now. Just anybody else? I'm going to cancel this in a second, but anyway. So that's the update. Anything else anybody wants to discuss besides we have community corner stuff? I don't know if anything else has really happened in the game. Sorry, say again.
I said, so those are some pretty big changes in that update. I mean, those are, there's some major quality of life.
It's a quality of life for people who don't want us clipping Guardian Fighters into things.
Or who want to swap out the modules on their pre-built ships.
Yeah, I suppose. Or people who have, you know, I got to mute this game sound here. People who have bought something and then expected it to be easy to work with because they paid money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just expected it to work.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, you could do what you want with the ship. You just can't. I don't know. I don't know. I can't comment on this. I don't have a pre-built ship, and I don't see myself buying one ever. So I don't think I'll ever have this issue.
Yeah, it's not a.
And since you
apparently it's fixed anyway. So.
Well, and since you haven't bought the Python Mark II, we can't have a discussion about what you think about the Python Mark II. So there, huh?
Yeah, I can have.
I look forward to having a discussion when the time comes. I think it'll be an interesting. Yeah.
I'm very excited about it. It looks like it's going to be tons of fun. It's right up my alley.
Except for that tiny distributor.
Yeah, it flies.
I fly lots of ships that have a size 6 distributor and have great fun in them, right? It's just none of them have 4 size 3 guns.
Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah. And 6 utility slots.
Yeah.
Right. Although that's usually not huge distributor issue, I'm no stranger to having to work my combat, you know, working my combat loadouts very intentionally around the idea of how much pips I want to spend in weapons, you know.
Right.
That's why my favorite guns have transition. I actually don't use plasma that much anymore, although it's still bloody awesome. But I'm leaning much more toward, you know, frags and cannons and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I mean, it really does excel with, like you said, frags or cannons. The first really effective loadout I put on it was beams and multi-cannons, and it does a lot. But I have to play with the pips a fair bit. But loaded up with all frags, you can have less than one pip in weapons and put everything else in engines and shields, and it is considerably more nimble and resilient if you don't have to have 4 pips in weapons to keep all the guns going.
6 frags, baby. 6 frags.
Yeah. It's really something. I had a fun frag experience over there because I scrapped together 6 frags in it and realized that they were all actual. So first I put premium ammo in them because it was already fun, but premium made it even more fun. And then I realized they were all G3 because I just had Todd the ass blaster, whatever his name is, who only does G3 frags. So then I went and did the lock and got 25 Furbies and dropped them off at his cyber party base, and then went from G3 to G5 and then went to G5 with premium. So I had it was awesome at G3 and then premium, and each level it was like another 30% essentially. And also I discovered halfway through that the size 2 gimbaled that I thought was drag had on it. And so what I thought was happening when I'd tag them on their way by and expect them to slow down and thought it was so cool wasn't actually happening until like this afternoon when I finally got the last of the bits put together. And it is sick. It's pretty preposterous what 6 frag cannons at close range can do to Corvette or any number of
others. Oh, yeah.
It's a fine jouster with frags. I suspect with cannons too, but
yeah, I want to try that, but I'm having way too much fun with the cannon build that I've got right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the convergence is really nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of cannons do you have on it?
Short range.
Oh, nice. a blunderbuss?
Yeah. It's the only way to fly.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
It is fun.
Yeah, I'm probably going to end up kitting mine out with all frags because I love my frag Mamba so much. And yeah, I may never go back.
It's good. It has a really pleasing boost, I think, and it it flies well in both FA off and FA on, but with FA on in particular, to me, it feels very like pleasingly video gamey. You know,
it has
a nice action to it that, you know, the pitch and roll are proportionate, and like it doesn't feel like they made it stilted in some way to compensate for it being a good new ship. You know, it's not like, well, okay, it's like these, but it doesn't do this one thing well. It seems more in the line of the new frame shift drives where, you know, sometimes a new car is just a well-made new car and it doesn't feel like they deliberately limited it other than
in
normal ways like distributor size and things like that.
Right. They didn't just like take all the FDL stats and increase them by 3%. You know, like there's some give and take. Like it doesn't pitch as fast, but its yaw is faster. And it's not quite as fast in a line. But it's, you know, other things are, you know, and then there's the gun differences. But that's true for like right now, if we think about FDL, Mamba, and now this Python Mark II, it's like choosing which one is the best for a situation is sort of like, well, which guns do you want to outfit it with? Because it's, you know, 4 size 2s and a size 4. There are some selections that work out really well for those sizes. And then likewise on the Mamba, you usually have to come up with something sort of strange just because like 4 2-3s and 2 1s is sort of weird to begin with. And then the layout is even weirder,
right?
But they're all on the dorsal surface, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So you've managed to find things that work out. I'm a fan of asymmetry. So I'll put all of one thing on one side and then all of something else on the other, which makes the Mamba work out okay. And then the Python, everything's just like, I love the way it looks like, cause I've seen people flying them right with like pacifiers, for example, or something like that, where it's just all around your field of view. These 4 pacifiers.
Fire.
Yeah, it's so cool. So I haven't flown pacifiers in quite some time because they're really only good on a Vulture or maybe a Chieftain in some cases.
You'll be good on
other than that, there's something else that's usually better. And I think this ship is going to be the best use of a pacifier that's ever happened.
Yeah, I hate that what I would have to do
get it
to get them. Yeah.
So I'll just have to engineer the frags that I've got.
It
definitely reminds me a little bit of that overhead jousting effect. I mean, that's one of the things that's pleasing about using it because you don't even really have to pre-turn much to have your whole range of fire pointed at the warship going over you and you get a front row seat and it's destruction.
cool. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. Come August, I'll be there with you.
And then we won't want to talk about it.
Exactly. It's also like, you know, it does kind of suck out all my steam for like, I occasionally was still turning on a stream and, not, you know, it's super pointless now, because like nobody cares. I should do a stream that says I don't own Python Mark II. You know what I mean? Like it would be impolite not to, just in case somebody tuned in by accident.
Are they really that ubiquitous right now on the stream?
That's the thing about the whole, as far as I can tell, the kind of the streaming culture, unless you manage to get yourself into having enough, you know, kind of a, you know, I don't have like a following or anything. I just do stuff for fun. And a few of my friends like look at things and watch the YouTube replay or something like that. But just Yeah, like it's whatever the thing that's going on is.
Right. You know,
whatever's going on. Without going into a whole lot of detail about it, that's what I've noticed about when I used to stream more. It was like, which ones get, you know, which of these get views? And it was just like, I would do whatever I felt like doing. And I thought it was cool. It's like, oh, we're going to do conflict zones today. We're going to do a Hazres today. When I did a little bit where it was like, oh, we're on foot AX stuff, when that was the thing, that was humongous. Hmm. I would get triple, four times the amount of views when I was doing that. And I was like, oh, this is why nobody cares when I stream, because I don't care about this stuff very much. It's like there was this momentary flash where I was like, oh, I sort of care about on foot for a second. And then I went back and was like, you know what? We're gonna fight Thargoids in space, because that's what I really love. Let's do an AX conflict zone. Oops, no views, you know? Anyway, enough about that, though. A community corner, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that Buckyball is happening.
It certainly is. And in fact, the very next race is the Loose Screws Ring Tossers Rally, sponsored by Niebla's Artisanal Tritium. If it's not Niebla's, it's only sparkling hydrogen. The announcement will be this weekend, once I have a forum post written, which I don't think I have done in a very, very long time, especially with a banner and some clever text. But I'll give a little sneak preview now to anybody who's listening so they can get a day or two's advanced practice. The race takes place entirely in one system, has one takeoff and landing, both from the melodiously named Bunch City in Ross 104. It consists of a run between the ring and the body of every ringed body in the system. This particular system has 8, which would kind of be an asshole thing to do to people, except that 3 of those are in binary pairs. And the farthest one out, I think, is about 3,000 light seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the orrery where and whether you have an SCO on your ship, you will choose your route to go through each of those kind of slalom rings. Some of the pairs, you can get the line just right and get through both without really having to slow down. There will probably be some kind of barnstormer's bonus for the highest speed you achieve going between the body and the ring. I've a bit and have gotten some absurdly and unrealistically fast numbers on the readout. It does worry me a little bit in terms of my own immersion, that going between the rings and the planet at 3 times the speed of light, you can still somehow see the planet going by.
don't get me started on the way the graphics display light speed or better in this game versus the way, you know, the way I would have done it. But anyway, right. Go on.
So the one novel stipulation, or maybe even not novel, it's conservative, is that no new generations and no Python Mark II ships are allowed. The SCO works completely differently on the newer ships. The cooldown is faster. You can, with a little bit of engineering, drive them indefinitely without worrying about heat.
To mention, not everybody has it, so.
Which is the reason they're banned. After August,
yeah.
There will perhaps be a Formula One version. Actually, I know Alec is working on a race, like a Formula One version instead. This one is more like the NASCAR version. So the SCOs people will be using, presumably, in the Unlimited class will be like holding on to the back of a, I don't know, not quite a bucking Bronco, but not too far off. And so you really have to be judicious when you're going through something like a set of planetary rings, not to throw yourself into the planet, which
Would be bad.
Yeah, would be bad. Slows you down a lot. So people in the what the hell's it called? The regular class, the one where you fly an unengineered Cobra, will more likely be jumping in and out of the system if they have to go one direction planets, and then you jump back in and go out from the center again, or things like that. I'm sure people will come up with interesting strategies, but the unlimited version will be kind of a crapshoot with poorly controlled ships of every variety that don't have to worry about jumping anywhere, hanging themselves around the system. So that forum post about it will be up this weekend, and then the race will start the weekend after that. So go hang out. Find if you happen to be near a planet with a ring and you've got an SCO on your ship, give it a shot and see how much of a whammy you can get going through the planetary rings. It's a lot of fun. And I hope people enjoy doing it as a race.
I wonder if people will be trying to basically apex the corner going through the rings.
I know, right? I did forget one important thing, though. Our sponsor, Niebla's Artisanal Tritium.
Oh, yeah.
Pledged a prize of 3,000 tons of tritium to the winner in each class.
So there are two prizes.
If you don't, then I guess come buy it and then sell it back to us for cash, whatever. So yes, two prizes, 3,000 tons each. Bring a friend if you don't have a fleet carrier, because that's a lot of tons. But
yeah,
we'll figure it out.
No cash equivalent stipulation or something. He had said, I remember when he posted that, he said, you know, you must have a fleet carrier to receive this or something, but...
I say otherwise, we'll just give you as much as you can carry.
Yeah.
We'll load you up with 754 or whatever it is. What would you do with it then?
Find a friend with a fleet carrier, I guess.
Yeah, find the highest buyer. Do you have a sense of, is the Cobra class, what is that class called? Like the standard, is it just limited and unlimited?
I can't believe my brain is completely...
You can't remember it either.
Regulation?
Regulation, that's exactly yes.
Thank you.
Is regulation going to get an SEO at some point?
No.
Are we just sort of feeling that out? No, they're going to say no forever.
Oh, I see. That's a good question. That is a very good question. I would suspect if they don't give you an SEO Cobra, then it won't be. That's the spirit of the class. You're basically using an off-the-shelf Cobra. So if that came, suppose that might be allowed. Everybody has to kind of build one because nobody, you know, necessarily has the original stock one. But yeah, it's basically just original, unimproved modules. So I would suspect that you'd have to start shipping those standard in order for them to show up in regulation.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
And you can still go through pretty fast in regulation. It's just a little bit more of a pain, you know, 30 seconds here, 45 seconds there, getting to the next approach and getting things lined up.
Yeah, but I bet you're not going to hit any planets, though.
It's such a crapshoot. You don't have the recharge timer that you can see. It takes a long time. And there isn't the same, like, 7-second or 5-second or 3-second approach that applies when your ship is accelerating past hundreds of times the speed of light. I'd be curious to see what people figure out in terms of managing that and making it work. I think there are going to be a lot of loops of shame in that race. I know I end up having to do one more often than not if I'm engaging the SCO recklessly. So yeah, I hope it'll be more fun than frustration, but I also hope there'll be plenty of frustration because that's when people come up with a good idea.
Right on. Next on the list is the French Elite Dangerous podcast, which I will not attempt to pronounce because I am not Audaxius and I do not try to offend people on purpose by saying things wrong. They are working on something called Project Icarus to test what players would do with ship interiors in order to de-risk FDev from working on it. So I clicked on this. There's a video where this particular commander explains the point of it and goes through some of the process. It was pretty long. I did not have time to sort of watch through it all before the episode started, but I have clicked on it. It just basically loads up in the browser, and he's got a Cobra's sort of ship model, kind of a crude version of it, mostly untextured. I guess there's some subtle textures here. And you can just walk around it. And I can't really tell if there's anything else I can do. I can jump, I guess. But anyway, I'm just like sort of walking around this cockpit. And then I can walk through the door in the back, and there's like a whole area that you could fill up with ship modules. If you look underneath the stairs, there's an SRV, untextured SRV model is placed in there. I can walk out the back hatch and I just fall into space and appear back in the ship. So, but apparently this is the start of a project and they want to do something with it involving figuring out what players will like to do within the interiors of their ships that would be gameplay. And thusly, I guess, convince Frontier to actually implement those, because or they will have
for all that it's a waste of time. Yeah, that's
right. Or it's right. It doesn't work, and it's like, oh well, FDev was right.
They are operating on a whole other level over there. Their adventures and puzzle things are so innovative and clever. The fact that they would come up with another complete surprise is just mind-boggling. Because people talk about features that we want or that we would use or wouldn't use. It is not very common in the world of gaming, I think, for someone to build the thing and say, look, let's see if people actually use it or if people actually like it. And it might turn out that people don't really care that much about it. And so it never happens. It's like modding without a moddable environment. You know, they can't just build a mod entirely new and say, look, this is kind of what it would be like. Like to foster discussion and say, look, FDev, people love it. Or to say, hey, you know what? This has been a fun project, but maybe it isn't really worth all the trouble. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's really something. And not knowing anything about any of this stuff and how it's done, it's just like, obviously there's a lot that goes into it, but I don't know. I'm curious to watch what's going to happen here, I guess. May in fact be worth something. And I'm curious as to what they're going to put into it, because I struggle to think of things that I would actually use a ship interior for besides just, you know, the immersion of it being an option, which is frankly mostly the only thing I use on foot in Elite for either. Like, I hardly ever get out of the seat, but when I do, it's just basically because I think it should be in the game, because it should be, otherwise it's not a whole universe. But anything, I don't know. Do we have, what's your ideas for, I have no, let me say it like this. I have no ideas for what I would do in a ship interior, because they're all just stuff that is just making normal bits of gameplay take longer, like repairing the ship, which we already have AFMs for, enabling or disabling modules to save power, maybe.
I mean, the only thing I can really think of is the ability to integrate it with EVA. Even if you don't have like rooms that you could get into, if there's a hatch on an anaconda that you can cut open from outside in and go and shoot somebody.
Take salvage. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Or salvage stuff, just to be able to have some kind of movement inside a vessel.
Yeah, that's the real reason you want interiors, is for salvage missions.
Right. Okay.
So, I guess in that context, it is a, there are a couple of actual playability things that you could get by adding a bit more in terms of traversal inside ships than the interiors themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's, like, the actual rooms don't really matter so much as the ability for the inside of a ship to be a place where you can go.
Right. And think about, like, those missions where you have to rescue hostages that you currently use limpets for, but, you know, you could, they could force you then to disable a ship, board it, and actually get the hostages out. Or
right.
Same thing with some of the ones that anarchies offer about assassinating politicians.
Right, right. I mean, why is the politician in the cargo hold in a cylinder? Why are the hostages in the cargo hold in a cylinder in a galaxy where anyone can just buy something called a hatchbreaker limpet?
Right.
Right. Though really none of those things would require ship interiors in the sense that the people who use that term tend to be hoping for, because none of that really happens inside, like, a vulture, you know, or inside Python. It's, you know, you don't come across small or even medium ships as scenarios. In the game, it would have to be like something on the scale of an Anaconda that you find salvaged someplace. Yeah. But most of the rest would be freighters and mega ships.
But you still could, right? And it does open up, like you're saying, freighters and mega ships. But things like these, like, data recovery missions, you know, little bits of something important that's small, could totally be in a derelict sidewinder somewhere. Oh, and you have to actually, like, do the thing instead of just, like, finding, you know, the black box missions or the election things where you've got to find six canisters of whatever floating in space. Like, that should totally be something where there was a delegate who got scuttled or something, and maybe they're still alive in there, maybe they're not.
Or do you have to go in and, you know, download something with a USB from the ship's computer?
And we have that gameplay, like, from on foot in settlement missions and stuff. Like, we have, there'll be a spot in the ship where we interact with the panel. Like, those menus already exist.
And just imagine if they introduced repo missions where you had to go somewhere and then, you know, board a ship and repo it.
You've not paid your bills.
Well, I mean, you'd be repoing NPC ships, but still.
How could it be we've been wrong all this time when we've said that there's no gameplay that would be supported by it, when in reality there's too much gameplay that would be supported by it, and that's why it isn't going to happen?
That's why they won't do it.
It's not that there's no use for it. It's that it would add an entirely new game's worth of stuff inside, and that's just not in the cards right now.
Well, I feel a lot better, actually, because most of the time when this has sort of come up in any discussions, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you could like work on bits of your ship and stuff. And it's like, but we have the AFM for that. And that's always the discussion.
And look, I play this game to escape reality. I don't want to be working on my ship.
Yeah, it's like we have the AFM, and if you don't have the AFM, then you have the reboot repair to get modules up to 1%. You know what I mean? To limp home kind of thing.
Yeah.
All this stuff already exists, so you can't take those over.
You said
set
up a poll that says if you had to choose between having a pretty room that you had control over the decor of that you could peek around, or a crappy little hallway that lets you jump out of your ship and climb into somebody else's in space. I hope the latter would win. I don't really know.
Did you actually set up a poll for that?
Why not both? Exactly. Because things have costs, Jan Trax. You can't do everything.
But actually, I say why not both, not because I care personally about decorating knickknacks on my dashboard or on my posters on my wall, but that's the sort of stuff you can sell in this game. So
I know, right? Gosh.
Yeah.
When things cost money, so I'm thinking, I really don't think this game gets any more content added that doesn't come with stuff you can buy. And, like, rightly so, not mandatory. You know, with that stipulation, then yes, everything's fine. And there's still all this, like, low-hanging fruit that hasn't been picked. You know, fleet carrier layouts and interiors and being able to decorate your ready room and stuff in there.
I know,
people
right?
are just like, there is stacks of money that have been sitting on people's desks for years since fleet carriers came out. Like, sell me something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that takes no work from the art team or the, you know, probably the, you know, a lot of programming hasn't, because the customization just hasn't been implemented. But like, why?
I mean, if you have to justify
that was long before Odyssey. So.
Yeah. If you have to justify the salary for your artist being able to say, look, they make these things that people buy, gives you a fair bit.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I wasn't around last week, but my hot take on the new prices for paint jobs in the store, this one occurred to me after hours and hours of careful deliberation, is that they now cost the same as suits and gun customizations. We should have seen this coming.
But those went up too, though.
Did they really?
Well, because they didn't just equalize. Everything went up. The only things that didn't were like some of the little tiny stickers and like the alphabets that can go in your dashboard. Yeah, they didn't go up the same. So like
everything is in five figures now, basically.
They're all closer together now. But so like the things that were quite expensive before, for the most part, didn't go up as much as stuff that was particularly cheap before.
Right.
But yeah, they didn't ignore.
They pushed all the space stuff up into the range of the suit stuff and also nudged that stuff up.
And but also nudge that stuff up while you're at it. Yeah.
Clearly they had it in their head that they had undervalued a bunch of their digital content. So
I personally I think we haven't seen the end of whatever's happening here. I'm not touching any of it. I have no reason. There's nothing is compelling about wanting to spend money on this right now. So it's a failure in that sense, but I don't know if it's a failure in the long term. And I don't obviously speak for everybody, but the real telling thing is going to be, I think, when traditional sale times come around,
right?
To see how much things get discounted by. Because like Midnight Black is available all the time. Yeah. Yay, is expensive now. Boo, what's going to happen on, you know, come this fall when it was traditionally available and, you know, ostensibly listed at a discount, although it was not really a discount before because that was the only time it was available, but blah, blah, blah.
I think they're going to rule out fleet carrier decorations and then make a fortune.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I think part of that.
They do.
I think the visual styling that's part of PowerPlay 2.0 is there for more. And at the very least, if they have gone from having, if they've matured their ability to control specific decor and thematic stuff, it stands to reason that they might be able to or might choose to sell more of that kind of customization in other places, like fleet carriers.
Right.
Hey, look, all of a sudden we've got a whole bunch of posters and planters and mugs and assets.
Yeah.
For space stations, but now you can come and pay us 30,000 arcs to put them on your fleet carrier.
It's, well, we'll see, you know, like I said, we'll see when sales come around how deep the discounts are. Because if they're not deep, that's when everybody's going to realize how real this is. And it's just,
yeah,
all the commentary that I hear is like, well, you know, I just slow down my buying habits by precisely the amount they raised all the prices because they're optional. So all you did was sort of upset people and probably make no more money, probably. But if sales come around, then you kind of just refocus it into then. And I was the sort of person, like, I didn't buy anything except at those times for the most part anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I didn't see a 30% discount on whatever, you know, I would just save up and be thinking, oh, I want a new paint job for my Krite Phantom. I'll, you know, the next time there's a store, you know, and then I'd hear, oh, the store is all 20% off or 30% off right now. I'm going to go pick through and find that skin I've had my eye on. So, I mean, nothing's changed in that regard. Whatever price they come down to during those things, then we'll know that's the new normal. Yeah, and I know, some people did buy them all the time, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think part of the big psychological shift is that they're no longer something you can really think about in terms of how many weeks it'll take you to pay for them in organic arcs, right?
Yeah, like if it's only not gonna happen. Arcs,
then this is this kind of thing, I might try it, and it's not that big a deal, and a week and a half, I can have enough arcs for it. But now it's 4,000 arcs or 6,000 arcs for the same thing. That's, you're not going to spend that to work your way toward a single paint job. I mean, they must have figured out that the odds that you will buy four paint jobs or one paint job that costs four times as much, that more often you'll end up, you'll buy the more expensive one more frequently than you will buy enough of the cheaper ones to reach the same amount.
Yeah, that was awkward. Maybe.
I think I'd be curious to know what their numbers look like before and after and what kinds of calculations they make, but they tend not to let us into that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is a shame because there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
If you assume.
Well, sometimes.
Well, is there anything else that we want to put into this podcast? I'm running out of steam here.
How many minutes you've been on steam?
We really bookended that, didn't you? We're right back at the top. I'm sorry. If somebody else said anything, I was laughing at the steam joke. Okay. Wondrous. Fantastic. Then, okay. I've got nothing. I really just faded out there at the end. Sorry, everybody. I'm a great entertainer. Thanks for coming along in this very, very something journey with us.
It was something.
It happened.
Of all the shows in all the world, this was certainly one.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
At least our American accents are on point.
Very, very good. I kind of hope they do that because I want to know if they sound like the Three Stooges or not. Because in my past experience, when I've asked, people with a British or sometimes Scottish accent to do an American accent, it sounds like the Three Stooges.
I hope so. That'll be hysterical.
That would be very, very good. I will appreciate that very much. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. And thanks to my little crew members here, my little crew. I don't know why I said little crew members. I meant little crew. My small, this is going terribly. I'm not going to edit any of this out. I know that. I know myself.
You just don't have the skill or the technology.
I don't have the skills or the technology, but most of all, I don't have the time or the patience. So thanks to everyone for listening, and thanks to the crew for joining me. It was Conander, Mr. Indigo, and Nurgle, and Oblivious. Thank you all. Oh, wow, that was great. It was all like in unison on my end anyway. We'll see how the bot hears it. And thanks to the patrons who support the show and allow us to pay for the things that we pay for, which is not very much, but it's still very helpful and generous and good, and occasionally we get to do something really fun because of it. Show notes contain all of the stuff we talked about. They contain links to the merch store. They contain links to patreon.com/loosescrewsed, where you can join those famous supporters, and also join the Discord so that you get our inside jokes. And that's it.
And really, we're all here for the inside jokes anyway.
Right. So if you felt left out at the very beginning of the show, there's an easy way to fix that.
Come to the Discord and educate yourself.
Yeah, get with it. That's it. That's it. And now we say good night to you, or good morning.
Bye.
Good now.
Bye.
Good now.
Bye. Good now.